Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And although there is other news to talk about this week, there really is only one story to start out with, and that is, of course, Mark Hunt's tremendous knockout. I'm absolutely kidding.
I thought we were going to talk about Ronda's period. I thought that's what we were going to be talking about today.
And, like, is this really where we're going?
Okay, here's I saw your tweet. This is a great way to start the show, by the way.
Okay, so to set up, I don't even know who it was. Somebody from Reddit, the Reddit MMA forum on Twitter said, was it Ronda's period? Which is not at all how I wanted to start the show, but here we are. And okay. I was just like, okay, this is what we're doing?
Okay, so a big win for Holly Holm. And there's been a lot of discussion this past week. What? I'm just setting it up for people who maybe don't realize Holly won.
No, I just think it's funny that you're actually going to brush off her win so that we can
talk about this. No, we're not. But I just think it was funny because, I mean, we're going to look at this 10 different ways. I thought it was funny how angry, because Reddit deleted the thread, too. Like, they did something to the thread where you couldn't use it anymore, which, if you've ever been on Reddit, seems to be a really high threshold, because Reddit's insane.
Sure. Yeah.
So I just thought it was funny how viscerally you and so many others reacted to that. Like, all the ways we're breaking this thing down, all the things we're talking about, if she's working in Hollywood, if her camp's insane. I mean, look, I get it. It's not one of those things where you want to talk about it because, you know, your visceral reaction's like, oh, what if there's a woman president and she has a period and blows everything up? That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, but that's...
We can talk about a real thing, though, something that causes pain, can cause discomfort, and can make training very difficult. I think when you're looking in a game of inches here... Although it looked like a game of feet and yards
right,
at least in this fight. I don't think it's unreasonable to go, hey, were you on your period? Was something going on? I mean, it's
okay, so let me,
in polite company, no, you don't bring it up. But we're talking about fighting and things that could affect a female fighter. I didn't think it was that strange out of all the things.
I just thought it felt to me, and you know, it felt to me very clickbaity. Like, this is the sentence we're going to write to get you to click on it.
Well, right. And everybody's got Holly Holm's crotch on the internet saying she's got a micropene. So, I mean... that's what we're doing this week. Is it right or wrong? I don't know, but I mean...
This is not at all what I wanted
to. But that's exactly what's happening after... That's an amazing night for Holly Holm, and then you got people on the internet 3 days later. So I think, honestly, Ronda Rousey, whether or not she did or didn't have something that happened to her that every woman has every month, a bit of speculation on that. I think out of both of those two, she got the better end of that stick, so to speak.
Fair enough. Okay, so let's set this up.
You want to reset without the peen and the periods?
We can do our thing.
Okay.
I do want to let everyone know, though, that given the fact that we're 3.5 minutes into this already, and this is how it started, there might actually be a possibility that we don't actually talk about Neil Magny and Kevin Gastelum tonight. Because
for those of you downloading for that exclusively, we want to be transparent.
We want to be transparent that we might go a whole hour talking about Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey, because it was nothing short of spectacular. I know that just about everybody in mainstream and MMA media bought this hook, line, sinker, right? This was going to be business as usual. This was going to be get some punches on the way in, take down, armbar, go home.
I want to tell you how I found out about this. And this is a Ronda Rousey fight.
You were hunting.
I was out hunting, and I didn't have internet where I was. And it wasn't even a worry for me. Yeah, it sucks missing Ronda Rousey. She's a legend, but she's going to go in there and win this thing in a minute and a half. You know, I believed Eric, by the way, who kept telling me there's no way Ronda's going to try to go strike at all. No way at all. I said, oh, you're probably right. That would be stupid. So Ronda goes in and beats Holly Holm. I don't find out about it for about 15 hours.
You mean Holly Holm beats Ronda?
Right. I'm sorry.
You're trying to rewrite history.
Even now, it's that surprising. I don't find out until 15 hours later when I'm watching the Fox pregame show for the football game. Because I came out of the woods in the morning, went to grab lunch,
yep.
And they said, and congratulations to Holly Holm. What? No, they just screwed that up. What'd they do? Because she wearing the belt? And then at that point, I'm like scrambling to try to figure out what in the hell actually happened during this fight. By the time I was able to get home on Monday and actually get my DVR and take a look at the fight, I knew what was going to happen, Eric. I knew what was going to happen, and I was blown away. That's how big of an upset that was. I sat down knowing when the fight was going to end. I'd seen the kick that ended the fight at that point, and I was still blown away by what happened in that first round. Now, the first round was, I think, more devastating. Everybody's seen the knockout.
Sure.
The first round, if you watch the fight, and I've had some people who are, you know, MMA casual fans at best, or I've had a couple female friends who really love Ronda Rousey. I mean, you know, right, yeah, and I right. get why.
Yeah, for sure.
I've shown them the fight, and they watch that first round, and they're stunned. They're stunned, because when you see the kick and you see the highlight that was on SportsCenter, okay, if I throw that kick at you right now, or you vice versa, you or I are going down.
Sure.
It's the beating that she took leading up to that kick that astounded me. The fact that not only was that takedown that she did, the one, basically sloughed off, that Holly at the end of round one took her down, got out of there quick. She wasn't stupid.
No.
That was the bigger story to me, was when I actually got to see that first round and see the beating that Ronda Rousey took. And it was mind-blowing. A lot of people have said biggest upset. It had that Weidman feel, but let's remember, Chris Weidman was fighting an almost 40-year-old Anderson Silva at that point.
Well, yes.
This harkens back to me, to GSP Matt Serra, because GSP is in his prime. But even then, GSP didn't take a beating like Ronda Rousey took from an underdog.
He tapped his strikes, though.
Right, but he got caught in the back of the head.
Sure.
And then the fight was essentially over. If this second round was round one, we'd all be clamoring for the rematch. Oh, she caught her. She got her with the kick, knocked her out. Let's see it again. And I know that's probably still what we're going to see, but what do you look at in this fight and go, Ronda deserves a rematch, other than she's Ronda Rousey, and up until 7 o'clock on Saturday night, she was the greatest fighter on the planet?
Well, let me say two things about that. One, no matter what we're going to say for the next 20 minutes or so as we break this fight down, which will likely take that, if not more, it goes without saying, some of the stuff that we talked about earlier in the podcast about all of the horrible stuff happening on the internet, make no mistake about it. This was an incredible fight. Holly Holm fought the perfect fight. Holly Holm is not Ronda Rousey. Holly Holm is not going to transcend the sport and get booked into movies and all. Like, Ronda Rousey is still a really, really special individual who did some amazing things for the sport, regardless of if she comes back and regardless if, in my best estimation, she loses the rematch, which I think she will, because I think that disparity, Ken, is far too great.
Yeah, but I think the rematch, what you're going to have to sell is the fact that Ronda got caught. Ronda tried to box a real boxer. She was on the cover of Ring magazine, but she wasn't a real boxer, Ronda Rousey. The real boxer was inside the pages when you flip through.
But I don't think you can learn that skill by UFC 200.
No, so that's what I'm saying. Ronda doesn't walk back in there. And Ronda fights this fight if she fights again. And we'll talk a little bit about who's saying she won't fight again, and then other people who are saying it's the best thing that's ever happened in her career.
Right.
Coming up in minutes, but if Ronda fights Holly Holm again, this is Ronda Rousey that we saw in Strikeforce. This is the Ronda Rousey that runs in, knocks you down, takes you down, throws you down, and grabs your arm. She does what she tried one time over and over and over and over and over again. Now, if Holly Holm can get out of that a couple of times and hit her, I mean, let's not forget that. You know, there was a little bit of back and forth I thought interesting in the fight with Goldberg and Joe Rogan. When you prep for a fight, you obviously have some things you want to hit on if a fight goes a certain way. Goldberg clearly thought, maybe this schedule of being a superstar is too much for Ronda Rousey, and it's catching her. I agree with him on that regard. I also agree with Joe Rogan, who pointed out in that fight, it's not her schedule that's making her tired right now. She is getting beat up. So,
well, she's getting beat up, and there's a bit of a nuance here, and I am not a boxing expert, so I've spent the week listening and consuming and watching all the breakdowns of this fight. There's a couple things that you need to understand when you're talking about a high-level striker in Holly Holm versus Ronda Rousey. What Holly was doing was circling to her power hand, because she was a southpaw. If you remember back to UFC 100... go watch that fight, because what happens is Joe Rogan talks about how Michael Bisping is circling into Dan Henderson's
right.
power and circling and circling and circling until Dan Henderson decides to end the fight and knocks him out cold. Very similar to what happened here. So what Ronda was falling into is that Holly Holm would circle and circle and circle, then stand in front of her, step back, to get Ronda to follow her in a straight line and then plant her feet and crack her in the head. And she would do it. Luke Thomas did a great breakdown of this. She would do it on the half beat. So if it's 1-2 for the footsteps, Holly's in between those two, cracking you in the head. So she's, and we've talked about this on this podcast a million times, is the person who gets off first wins those exchanges. And Holly was getting off first. And what you were alluding to in all these other fights that Ronda was in, she was faster. She was not faster on Saturday night.
She was not faster, and she wasn't the aggressor in this fight. And I know that's going to sound strange because, I mean, you saw her kind of chasing almost Holly Holm. And what you say is circling. Some people say, well, she was running away and then she'd come back in. That's circling. You can use the whole cage. We've seen dudes run away in fights.
Yep.
That wasn't running away. That was her knowing exactly where she was in the cage. And you could say she's running away if she never engaged. But like you said, she'd pull her in that line. Ronda came in sloppy as hell. And we saw this. We saw this. Go download last week's podcast. I told you this in the Betch Carrera fight. I said, if that's the fight Holly Holm gets, she's getting exactly the fight she wants.
Sure.
It's what she can do with it. And she got exactly that. Betch Carrera cracked Ronda Rousey, but she wasn't strong enough. And a lot of us were talking about the fact that, well, she hasn't really had an MMA knockout. Well, when you're hitting that clean, those gloves are still only 4 ounces. And she's used to wearing 16-ounce gloves.
For sure.
So those cracked Ronda good. And Ronda hit back, and Ronda hits hard. Holly Holm gave her credit after the fight. So this isn't a situation where Holly Holm is just going to beat Ronda every time they fight. I don't think that. I know you're leaning more toward that, saying, what else does Ronda do? I think this becomes a more nuanced matchup of MMA genres, if we could go back in the day.
Maybe. But
because we're in that infancy of women's MMA where we've got pretty much a pure striker, pretty much a pure judoka at this point. As much as she's striking and she's been landing some knockouts here and there, that's where Ronda Rousey is. So, you know, we hearken back to those days of 1995 and, you know, maybe going into 2000 where you got, you know, as far as women go, you don't have mixed martial artists yet.
Correct.
And I don't say that in a disparaging way.
No. I mean, well, it's again, you've heard it said a couple times this week, is if this same thing isn't happening on the men's side, there's a disparity of skill set on the, that's nothing against female MMA, it's just too new. But if you look on the men's side, there is nobody trouncing everybody to the way that Ronda was trouncing everybody prior to Saturday night. The reason I disagree with you, though, is it appeared to me two things. One, Holly Holm knew exactly what Ronda was going to do at every step of the way.
Well,
Ronda's favorite
thing. How about Greg Jackson, ladies and gentlemen?
Right. But, I mean, okay, programming that into your fighter. Winklejohn, Greg Jackson, whatever you want to say, knew exactly what she was going to do when she was going to do it. When Ronda likes the two-on-one in the jiu-jitsu and judoka world where she uses two hands against your one hand to hand fight and get into the position to flip you on your head, well, you saw very similar to what Betch Koheya tried to do, but Holly Holm was able to do. And that is uppercut Ronda until she can no longer hang on to your wrist. And she can't get her position, which is called the hanger, where she flips you. She can't get that when you're cracking her in the head with uppercuts all day long. And so the reason I don't think the line in Vegas right now for the rematch still favors Ronda, I think it's wrong. I think if Ronda does not fire her coach today and get a new set of coaches or a new team or go train with some new people, I don't see a different outcome happening, because when you get to the end of that round one,
I think I was just going to ask you what I think you're going to go into.
What in the hell did Edmund say to her? Edmund says, great job, champ.
Beautiful.
It's going perfect. No, it is not going perfect.
See, well, and I get that. There's two sides of that argument.
There is only one side.
There's two sides.
No,
to that
there
argument.
Is not.
There's two sides of that argument. When you've got somebody who's as dominant and her presence scared the hell out of her opponents, and that fed into her dominance and her ego and how she believes she's going to win a fight, I don't necessarily disagree with letting that fighter feel like that they're winning the fight, that they're doing well after the first round. Now, I think, and we missed the other half of that. You know, we got to see her first 30 seconds, and then we saw Holly's last 30 seconds. So I don't know what he said after that. But if it wasn't, now that said,
and I don't
think you could be losing the rounds or something. I think with fighters like her, I think she was taking such a bad beating, maybe he needed to be more aggressive out of the gate. I understand the thinking and the process there. If your fighter's maybe in a war, and she's never been in a war before, because it was similar to some of the Misha Tate fights, if you go back at this point. Oh, you're doing great. You're doing great. Hey, work on this. Hey, work on this. What I don't think the coaching staff was ready for, and obviously Ronda Rousey wasn't ready for, was a Ronda that was losing so badly she might be about to lose this fight. again, that's what a good coach does, though. He can pivot. He should have realized there, you could lose this fight if you don't change this right now.
And that's what and we didn't see the last half of it, but Joe Rogan did. And in their podcast, at no point did they allude.
Yeah, he was not a fan of it.
All of a sudden, Edman started telling her what to do. And all I'm saying is if I'm being coached by somebody and I'm being run over by a truck, I don't want you to tell me that the truck doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. I want you to tell me how to get the truck off of my chest. And she was getting trucked by Holly Holm, and telling her that it's perfect or good job or beautiful is terrible, terrible, terrible advice. And I'm telling you, her chasing Holly Holm around and having no way other than the ways that she has in fights past to catch her and implement your game plan, I don't see that changing with this team by July, which is the rumored rematch at UFC 200.
Yeah, and there's obviously a medical suspension there, which it's funny because the mainstream media is freaking out. And you and I know that that's standard.
It's just standard.
But that's how big a star she is.
Yes.
Ronda suspended for 6 months.
And this is what I'm saying, right? Make no mistake about it. She is still a very special individual who did some amazing things for the UFC. And by and large, I think you and I would both agree, saved the organization when all the garbage happened with Jon Jones.
Oh, right? Yeah.
She stepped up to be the face of the company. And none of that changes in light of this loss. It changes if she doesn't come back. But if she does come back, none of that changes. And I don't want it to get lost. There's two things that I don't want to get lost today, and we'll get to the next one here in a little bit. But one is that the win is fantastic. Holly Holm is not Ronda Rousey. And you need to understand the difference, that you will not see Holly Holm in the Expendables 12.
See, I don't know. But I mean, 5 years ago, we wouldn't have expected to see Ronda Rousey where she is. Because I look at Holly Holm, and let's remember now, too, as far as the mainstream media is concerned, you know, Buster Douglas could have been one of the biggest stars in boxing back in 1990. But he blew a shot. Because he was the guy that beat the guy.
Sure.
She's the girl that beat the girl.
The difference being Buster Douglas couldn't get his life together prior to that fight and couldn't get his life together afterwards.
Right, but what I'm saying is at that point, I think he had a chance to be a star. And I think Holly's going to have that same chance. And, you know, let's, you know, PC talk off the table here. She's a pretty lady. You know, she's a beautiful woman. That's going to help. That helped Ronda, too. Don't lie about it. Don't pretend it didn't help Ronda to be a hot blonde. It helps. Holly Holm, she's a hot blonde, so that's going to help her. I did bring up some pictures of Holly Holm photo shoots
just to
reinforce that thought process there.
Again, I'm not disputing the beauty of either one of them on any level. All I am saying is that there is an anomaly factor to Ronda Rousey that I don't believe Holly has outside of the ring.
And lot of people don't. But again, we didn't see this from Ronda years ago. Remember, hell, when Sean was on the show weekly, he might still hate her,
he
but he hated
still,
her
because yeah.
she was grumpy. She was coarse. She maintained most of that. I mean, and that's why a lot of people, you know, we'll talk about probably the memes in a minute and whether or not that is or isn't disrespectful. But I mean, she brought a lot of that onto herself. I can't be mad about somebody making funny pictures of Ronda Rousey online when she goes in there and doesn't touch gloves. And the night before at the weigh-in, did you watch the weigh-in? Because I got to see that before I left.
I watched it 6 times because I wanted to make sure before I had an opinion that I knew exactly what happened.
And after I watched it, I said, boy, something seems off here.
Uh-huh.
She seems more aggressive than she needed to be there.
And it seemed to me, and I don't know about...
And again, this is 2020 after we get to watch Holly Holm beat the crap
out
of her.
But even before, when I watched it, I was watching it with my wife, and I said, why is she, like, crying when she's talking to Joe Rogan? Why is she so hyper-emotional all of a sudden about this? Because if you go back and watch when they do the interview, like...
The build-up to this was out of left field.
None of this,
I mean, this was out of left field compared to the build-up.
And she just seemed like she was hyper-emotional, and it was interesting. If you've not had a chance to listen to Joe Rogan's podcast from Monday. He had a pleasure of flying
back.
Then
delete this one and do that now.
No. He had the pleasure of flying back with Dana White from Australia. And there was a great part in the middle. They've got Tony Hinchcliffe on with him. And Tony was talking about how his favorite part is to watch the weigh-ins because of how much you can tell from a fighter. And he was talking specifically about Mark Hunt and then got into the other. Like that Bigfoot Silva looked slow and clumsy and klutzy and couldn't get his shirt off and all of that stuff because he's off TRT. And Mark Hunt's like running up the stage and, you know, jumping up and down. I couldn't be more excited.
It's Australia.
You know,
yeah.
And you saw that in essentially play out in the fight. And so this weird exchange where it appears to me, and I've watched it more than one time, it appears to me that their arms get tangled on their right side, and Holly touches Rhonda's chin, and then all hell breaks loose.
That all happens, but it all happens because Rhonda moves in quick and does that weird thing that we saw from Anderson Silva when he was fighting Chow, where he just got really aggressive for some reason. So that's why it's sometimes hard to take a little bit from that. But, you know, there was that, and then right after the word, she started just basically slamming how Holly Holm was fake. I still don't understand that. Was there something that precipitated that?
Well, my connection was, I guess she thought because the weigh-in was disrespectful, so therefore she's a fake human being and not a preacher's daughter. Yeah. I don't even know, because then she went on Instagram and did the same thing. And all of that stuff leads to what you want to talk about next, which is, look, man, fans can do whatever the hell they want to do. You want to make – that's the whole business. It's right now, it's the number two trending pay-per-view of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is based on the brand that you've created, Ronda Rousey. People either love you and or they hate you.
And you know what's funny? You can also do both. I loved watching Ronda Rousey. You know, and I'm probably one of those dudes that came around a lot more than you probably ever would have thought I would. But I certainly, with her – type of mentality going into the cage and the way she carries herself, I'm not going to be upset when people make fun of the fact that, you know, she didn't touch gloves and got her ass whipped.
Sure.
I mean, that's essentially it. Every Bush leaguer in this business that you see, whether it's, you know, in an armory, whether it's at a reservation, whether it's in Russia, every time there's a fight, it seems like, in the world where a guy doesn't touch gloves and gets his ass whipped, it ends up going viral on YouTube. You know why? Because that's human nature. Like, oh, look, you were a jerk, and look, you got your ass handed to you. Well, guess what? This is that times a billion.
Well, yeah, this is that with.
And that was even somebody, too. I was watching with with my co-host, and she's a Ronda Rousey fan. She saw the beginning of the fight when I was showing her the first round. She said, is she a bitch? What's going on? Why didn't she touch? I go, that's always kind of her thing. She's like, oh. Well, yeah, but then when you get your ass whipped, it looks real bad. And that's exactly it. You know, I'm not trying to justify the memes or whatever pictures you've seen on the internet. Because, honestly, if she would have touched gloves and been the pure epitome of sportsmanship, it's the internet. Who cares?
Right.
But when she does that, I really can't understand how some people are saying it's disrespectful to Rhonda. I don't think anybody's disrespecting Rhonda. There's pictures out there of Rashad Evans up against the cage after John Jones beat the crap out of him.
Well, and I got into a bit of a fun Twitter skirmish. There's no beef, nothing. But Jonathan Snowden, who wrote the MMA encyclopedia and the pro wrestling encyclopedia.
Not the NSA guy.
Different. That's Edward Snowden.
Okay. Or is it?
True.
You never know.
Fair enough. But I retweeted the Carlos Condit tweet where he said, for all of you who are dumping all over Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm just kicked her ass and isn't. And I just thought that was really classy. And Snowden was pointing out to me that, like, this is a guy who, in Carlos Condit, who talks a lot of trash about his opponent and relishes in that stuff. So he thought it was heavy-handed and all of that stuff. And I just responded in kind and said, look, I think I'm just responding to all of the people jumping off the bandwagon and the amount of insane visceral hate that is going on in the internet. That said, it is absolutely within your right to do that stuff. And that is what the business is built on. She wanted to be the bad guy. She is the bad guy. This is why at the end of every movie, the bad guy loses. And when the bad guy loses, everybody cheers in whatever way that they want to cheer.
Well, and I think she's gotten herself a little more, a little more liked than she actually thought. And she obviously likes some of that. She shows up at WrestleMania for the cheer. She does the movies and all those things.
Sure.
It's tough, though, because, I mean, for a lot of these fighters, and we saw it in her fighting style, in her only plan of attack, essentially, against Holly Holm, was basically turn it up to 100. That's her life in a nutshell. And for some fighters, that's how they work. That's how a dude is going to win. He's going to turn it up to 100. He's not going to touch your gloves. He's going to come out. He's going to whoop your ass, and he's going to walk away. And that's essentially Ronda Rousey. So when it happens the other way, you know, things get a little weird on the internet. And there's always surprise and shock. And the fact is that I think a lot of people in MMA, Carlos Condit, all the respect in the world to the guy, but you know, he gets beat in a fight, there's not a million memes about him because nobody cares about him as much as they care about Ronda Rousey. I mean, again, going back to how I found out about the fight, it was on the NFL pregame, the biggest sport in the country. They put a blib up and a video up of Holly Holm beating her. So that's going to lend itself to a little more of the meme world than, well, than a Carlos Condit win over another guy or loss.
And on that, I was out to lunch with my wife, and we were in a, just a fast food chain restaurant, and the line was right next to our table where we were sitting. And there were two girls in their late 20s, early 30s, talking to one another about Ronda Rousey, and then an overweight guy in a Michigan jersey pipes in, and they have this conversation that shouldn't happen in real life, right? Mm-hmm. But it's happening in real life around this seminal human being who has transcended this sport in a way that none of the other athletes on the roster have been able to do.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's going to be very interesting. I guess we go from Holly Holm fighting the perfect fight and wondering whether or not Ronda has anything for it, even if she knows what she's walking into, to the diverging viewpoints we have here. You have somebody like Jose Aldo saying Ronda's never going to fight again. Then today you have GSP saying she'll fight again and this will be the best thing to ever happen in her career. He has often said that Matt Serra loss made him refocus on what he was good at.
Sure.
He went in there, tried to put on a bit of a show, which I think is what Ronda Rousey did last weekend. You get to be that good, and you get to the point where everybody just knows, quote unquote, you're going to win. So what do you do with that? Well, you go in against this guy who was on The Ultimate Fighter and you try to get in a striking match with him.
Who had been fired from the company and only got back because he was on a reality show. Like, you take him lightly.
So what you basically did is you just went, you looked at the paper that he wrote up on how to beat George St. Pierre, possibly get into a striking matchup with him and swing at his head. And you say, okay, I'll do that for you. Since you're this guy that got fired and you came back on The Ultimate Fighter and I'm the champion, I'm GSP, I'm not going to lose. Well, what happens in that fight? GSP loses. So he's often credited that loss with the fact that he then just became so much more dominant. A lot of people hated watching a George St. Pierre fight after that point. But guess what? Never lost again. Never lost again. So if this is what Ronda Rousey really does and she decides, you know what? I get it. I'm going to have to know how to strike. But that's not what I'm going to do. The fact that I was able to beat up Betch Carrera striking isn't that impressive. You know, I think if she, and it's hard because you win the fights. Sometimes you don't want to, you don't look at the weaknesses when you win a fight.
Yep.
You know, you've got to kind of Bill Belichick it. Every time you win, you think about the three things you did wrong in a game if you're the New England Patriots.
Of course you do.
So if you go back to that Miesha Tate fight, the three rounder, I believe it was. If you look at that fight, you've got all your ways to beat Ronda in that fight. Miesha just wasn't able to do it. So if Greg Jackson looked at that and said, you know what? This, and, I mean, he's got a lot of history already at this point with Ronda Rousey. He's finally found his fighter to kind of do that.
Well, and I think part of that is the strength. Holly was stronger than Ronda.
Holly was very strong. And she's battle-tested, too, in a way that a lot of people in the UFC that Ronda's been fighting aren't. Ronda is battle-tested. She's been a judo champion for years, the Olympic-level judo fighting. A lot of the people she's fighting aren't that battle-tested.
Correct.
So when she runs into somebody else like that, it becomes a little bit of a battle of wills. And where is your skill set? And where is the fight right now? The skill set was the boxing. Very impressed by the kickboxing, too. I mean, those are bleak kicks.
Yes.
And that's the other thing, too. Ronda didn't know what to do because every time she would try to start movement, boom, she just gets hit right on the top of the leg, which fighters hate. They all hate it. And, you know, we can have our oblique kick argument next podcast. But you got to be very impressed by those types of things. And you saw the holes there. And Holly was strong enough to do it. Holly had the skill set to do it. Holly probably hit harder than anybody Ronda's fought before. And she hit harder at short range and at long range. She was able to stretch out the jabs all the way and still land. And I think that was just very off-putting to somebody like Ronda, whose strategy is like, put your head down, get in there. And once we're tied up, my skill set's unmatched. That's what Ronda Rousey really was. She, and still is, her skill set's unmatched if you get a phone booth. But a couple times she got in the phone booth, she got punched in the face before she was able to get a takedown. So I think the rematch, I think it's a much more even than you do at this point. So that'll make it interesting. But will she come back? Who's right, GSP or Jose Aldo?
Well, I think two things, you know, and then we'll get to some social stats that I think are really impressive from both women. I think one, if she comes back, it can't be till UFC 200 because of doctor's orders and the medical suspension.
Well, she can clear out before that.
She can clear out before that, but
what,
I think...
you've been paying too much attention to the mainstream media?
But I think that makes sense.
Oh,
give her,
for sure.
Give her some time off. Let her figure some stuff out. I also think it builds the allure of the fight if Holly Holm takes... I would prefer Amanda Nunes, but Amanda Nunes or Miesha Tate first.
Do you really want that, though?
Yes, I do.
Does UFC want anything like that?
I don't know, but I think it's... I think when I read these stats to you in a second, I think it's dumb to make her sit around till July.
It's already pretty much December. I don't think July... I think it's a waste to go in there and try to turn her around in 3 months. Because those fighters you mentioned are very good fighters and would have very different game plans than Ronda Rousey in that instance. I mean, if you want to, let's go back to the Buster Douglas example I used earlier. And again, I'm not trying to compare the two because, like you said, he was a bit of a mess. You know, after he beat Tyson,
it's an apt comparison. It's
he never got to fight Tyson again, and that's because he lost to Evander Holyfield right after beating Mike Tyson. They never got to a rematch, which Tyson wanted. And again, there were a lot of out of the ring things. But don't you want to see this rematch basically untarnished? If you tell me you'll do it at 200 in July, I'm fine with it. If you're telling me Ronda's going to take another 6 months off or another 3 months off, I would be more on your side. But I think just to turn her around in 3 months, if Ronda's actually coming back and that's where we go with this next fight, I don't necessarily agree that that should be the next fight. But if it's going to be on the docket, let's just make it that's Holly's next fight. That's what's going to happen there. Because I think...
But, okay, so let me...
I think we've got a much more interesting championship division if we start doing all these other fights. But if Ronda is still there, and she's going to be there as soon as July... Again, I know it feels like it's far away, but as soon as July...
But, dude, it's not even the time. It's what did you see in that fight that calls for an immediate...
But that's why I'm saying if that is the fight that's going to happen anyways, don't F it up by putting her in there with somebody like Miesha Tate.
You don't think it makes it bigger if she...
Of course, if she trounces, steamrolls. But do you think she's going to... See, here's the thing. I love Holly Holm. I love her strategy in that match. But if you really want to start breaking this down and looking at it, you've got to almost... This is going to sound insane, but I mean, a week changes things. It's going to sound insane. You've got almost a custom-built type of opponent in Ronda Rousey for Holly Holm if the game plan works the way it did. And that's somebody who really can't strike with me, somebody who doesn't know what to do outside of that phone booth, and somebody I can hit and really land hard punches on and get out of the way. I don't think she can do that to Miesha Tate.
Okay, let me offer another argument, right? We're still sitting here in 2015 after he's beaten just about everybody at 185, and there are still people that don't view Chris Weidman as the champion.
Yeah, but what was his first fight back?
Hang on. Right. Yes, it was, because that fight was a fluke, right? We called Anderson Silva playing around and he got caught, and that was, so we had to fight him again. There was nothing in this fight. It was the cleanest fight I've seen in forever. There's nothing in this fight that screams rematch. There's nothing in this fight that screams that it needs to be an immediate rematch. And I think if you're trying to build a champion, learn from what happened with Weidman and put her in there and see if she can. I know the money aside, and you'll probably be right. I'm just saying, from a competitive standpoint, if you want to know if this woman is really as good as she looked on Saturday night, she should fight Amanda Nunes next, and it should happen in March or April.
First off, she is that good because she did. She fought the fight.
Then she should fight again.
She should fight again. But if you I'm just well into the semantics of where we are inside this argument. If Ronda is next and it is as soon as July, there's no sense in another fight. Yes, I agree with you. Nunes, Miesha Tate. Let's go back. Well, I'd have to dig back through. Ronda had beaten them all, so I've kind of forgotten where everybody
is. Well, it would be Kat Zingano, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. Oh, amazing. We've got a new set of interesting matchups.
Sure.
But we don't. If Ronda's back in July and that's the fight that's going to happen, there's no reason for her to take another fight right now. No reason for Holly Holm to take another fight. Do press for 3 months. See if you're going to be the next Ronda Rousey. Because you know what? The media loves her at this point. She's been doing a lot of media lately. And you said it earlier. You don't know if she's got that thing that Ronda has. Well, Ronda didn't have that to start. But she's got a head start on where Ronda Rousey was 5 years ago. Because she got to beat Ronda Rousey.
Yes, she did. And
so, again, do you really want... If Ronda Rousey's the fight you're going to make, again, that's my caveat here, Eric.
Okay.
If Ronda Rousey is going to be a fight in July, do you really want her... quote unquote, slumming it with another fighter before that fight happens. Really?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
See, and I don't believe you, and even believe yourself.
I absolutely believe myself because I'm myself.
Now, hang on.
Go ahead.
Your turn.
I just think if you don't, and she destroys Ronda again, mm-hmm. Ronda becomes Clay Guida.
Well, then Holly Holmes becomes Chris Weidman. Now you get to fight all the fights. And maybe you're the best in your division because then you get to see all the other fighters that you.
You're making
all these other matchups right now that would just basically muck up your press tour. And I know I'm thinking of it from a very business standpoint in that regard. If Ronda's there, and I would even agree with you, Eric, that shouldn't be the next fight. But we're not, you know, pie in the sky here with what we're.
No. I mean,
that's the fight. So that's the fight. Then what do we do to work that fight? You're trying to shoehorn in. What would be the best idea if Ronda Rousey weren't here?
No, I'm shoehorning in a thing that makes that fight bigger because...
It does if she wins.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily see Holly Holm as winning any of these matchups right out of the gate. It's not 100... this isn't the bet your mortgage on Holly Holm fight for any of these people in the top... Probably the top 10. Again, this sounds insane a little bit after what we're thinking just a week ago. But again, is there anybody else in that division? I'd have to go look at the rankings again. That you think is as well made for Holly Holm as Ronda Rousey. I'm sure there's some other grappling experts in there, but is there anybody, when you really look at how she fought that fight, that would give her that same type of matchup? I don't think so, and I certainly don't think so if you're just shoehorning in a fight, because what are you going to do, Eric? You're going to make her fight in February?
No.
Well, you can make her fight in March, because then she's getting closer to the fact she's got to start promoting the July fight. So when's she fighting? When's she fighting in the Liz Carmouche or whatever you want to put in there?
It's not going to be Liz Carmouche.
I would say Liz Carmouche would be okay.
I would probably say March.
Okay, so you're going to have her fighting in March. So she's going to camp probably end of next month, right?
Sure.
So you get her. She wins the fight. Amazing.
Yep.
You got April, May, June, July. Okay, cool. That's probably plenty of time for press. But she loses that fight. What did you really buy? You bought a fight in March. That's it. That's if you're the UFC and you're buying and you're selling. You bought a fight in March and you're trying to sell it as this new champion. And oh crap, she got beat up, or she went to a decision, or any little thing that doesn't make her look nearly as impressive as she did by replaying that Ronda Rousey clip over and over again.
Let me play a different scenario to you. Right? Let's say you wait and you don't do that, and we get to January, then we get to February. Then we get to March.
Like Conor McGregor, let him do that press tour.
Hang on. We get to March. This win is less in people's mind because Conor McGregor is going to shock the world on December 12th. And now we're going to talk about Conor McGregor, right? So as we get to March, people are talking about it less and less and less. Let's say towards the end of March, Ronda wakes up one day and just goes, you know what? Nah, I'm done.
You can have her fight then. Then you set up your dominoes of fights, then you knock the first one over and you start her up. I mean, it's not unheard of to have a fighter wait 5, 6, 7 months. I think in this case, I think there's so much money to be made and so much interest. I just don't think you even want to come close to mucking with that too much. Because here's the other thing that's even different than some of these other divisions at the time. I mean, Chris Weidman went into an immediate rematch with Anderson Silva, and that was with a division that had guys like Lyoto Machida, that had guys like, at the time, I'm trying to think at the time who was like top five, Vitor Belfort, got the fight. I mean, there were guys there with names, Michael Bisping, that fight was never made, but I mean, there were guys in that division that could have sold a pay-per-view, so to speak, but they still went back. There's nobody else in this women's division. There's no Vitor Belfort waiting in the women's division right now. The closest you've got is Miesha Tate, who kept getting beat by Ronda Rousey. So you would go to Miesha Tate, and I think she's got one of the best shots against Holly Holm when you look at this list. So you go back to Miesha Tate. Miesha Tate either gives her a fight or, God forbid, wins and blows your $200 million gate or whatever insane pay-per-view numbers and gate you're going to do.
Well, we will. We'll wait.
Has there ever been more money on the line, do you think, for the UFC That's why I think it's just insane what you're saying about any other fight in the way.
I just think when you're building, I'm looking at it from a branding perspective for Holly Holm. I think it's crazy to make her wait that long. That said, the money wise, no, there hasn't been any more money at stake.
And again,
I'm not a casual fan. I'm an educated fan who looks at that fight and sees nothing is going to be different in fight number two.
And if it's not, then guess what? She gets to fight Misha. She gets to fight Kat, Amanda Nunes. Then you've got the woman who beat, you have the Chris Weidman plan. And a lot of people didn't buy in on the Chris Weidman plan for a while. But you've got the Chris Weidman plan times 10 because you know what? Even though Anderson Silva may be the greatest of all time, we can put him in that argument easily. He wasn't that well known by the mainstream crowd. Yeah, he got on SportsCenter here and there.
Right.
I would argue at this point, Ronda Rousey's better known than Anderson Silva was at that point. Anderson Silva didn't show up at WrestleMania. Anderson Silva wasn't in movies. You know, he did a Burger King commercial. That was about it. So, I mean, Anderson, greatest of all time. I'm not saying he had to do those other things. The fact is Ronda's done those other things, and everybody knows who Ronda Rousey is. And she was trending. She's still trending. I mean, we're almost a week away from the fight. So all of those things put together. Yes, I agree with you. The next fight I want to see, I probably want to see her and Misha Tate. Because Misha Tate's got that name recognition, and I also think she's got a great game for Holly Holm. Because if she can eat some punches and get in and kind of strike back here and there, that'll be interesting. Now, maybe she'll just get wiped too. I want to see that. I want to see the Nunes fight. I want to see Pena. I want to see all those fights. But I don't believe for one second we're going to see any of that get in the way of a rematch, despite the fact that, again, Ronda showed nothing. Yeah, I think Ronda's three or four fights away if you look at this as a purely athletic competition. Yeah, of course. Man. She didn't really show anything. She'll get a rematch in a couple. She becomes the Misha Tate of this scenario where Misha has to fight five other chicks and then she gets to go back in and then get her ass kicked again. That's her against Ronda, and now it would be Ronda against Holly. But that's not the world we're living in. You know, Misha Tate wasn't bringing the dollars to the table in those fights.
Right.
Ronda Rousey was, and Ronda Rousey still is. And, you know, this could end up being better for Holly Holm than what you're saying. When you want to go to the branding and the building of a champion, she gets to no doubt in anybody's mind. There's nobody lingering out there anymore. As a whole, UFC might be in a little bit of a trouble, but I think they make it up on the front end, so to speak. They solidify Holly Holm as their champion, and this is the woman who beat the world beater, so to speak. So I get entirely what you're saying, and if this were purely athletic, I would agree. Yeah, let's have her fight in March. I want to see what she does again. But if in that situation, we just know Ronda's in January or July, excuse me. There's no sense in it at this point.
Well, we'll see what happens as that is right around the corner. We'll figure out what's going on. As promised, we've pretty much eaten up the entire show talking about this. But I did want to talk about because I honestly feel it was a better fight and less talked about and more impactful for both fighters as opposed to more impactful for Holly Holm. And that's Johanna Jędrzejczyk and Valerie Letourneau in an absolutely spectacular fight that raised the stock of Valerie Letourneau and, again, still cements Johanna Jędrzejczyk as an absolute killer at 115 pounds. A brilliant fight on her behalf. And I think if you go back and watch that fight, what you see is Valerie Letourneau wins those first two rounds and just isn't used to the pace of a championship fight and can't keep pace. And Johanna turns it on and wins the last three rounds.
Yeah, and Valerie, too, she jumped in the rankings. Which
as she should.
Which, yeah, exactly. And I think that's what's great about fighting sometimes is, you know, when you can see that happening in the cage. And there's a lot of fighters who we've talked about in the past. They seem to fight to their competition, whatever that is. Valerie seems like one of those who's going to be able to fight up to her competition.
And I'm excited to see her next fight, and I would love it if they, you know, even if it was on Fight Pass, I think the best thing for Val at this point is to get her on a Fight Pass card where she's in the main event as a five-round fight to know what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
Because this rematch is something I'd be very interested to see. Despite, you know, in,
you want to do that in March?
In sharp contrast to the other one that I don't think is even competitive really at this point.
You don't think it's competitive, but you've already got your wallet on the table.
Hell yeah, I'm going to buy it. Mark Hunt, like I said, a very different fight from the last time those two fought in 2013, as it was an absolute war then. But off TRT, Bigfoot Silva just needs a one and done sort of philosophy, and that was a walk-off homer from Mark Hunt, who looks spectacular at 41 years old. Spectacular.
I feel like we say this every time Mark has a fight. Like, he loses, or then when he wins, man, you're like, hey, maybe you should get a shot.
But he's just one of those fighters who's figured out how to, you know, he's got a granite chin.
Should he only fight in
only
Australia,
in Australia
and New Zealand?
Yes, and he should only fight Bigfoot, I think.
There you go.
The other two fights to talk about, Robert Whittaker with a spectacular performance against Uriah Hall. And I think when you talk about blueprinting, you know, we talked about blueprinting. Holly Holm was able to figure out what you did against Ronda and then just execute and win that fight. Robert Whittaker showed everybody what you need to do to beat Uriah Hall. And that is step into where every other fighter would knock you out and do your work from there, because Uriah Hall is going to do his spinning stuff from the outside, not the inside. Mm-hmm. And if you fight on the inside, you've got a really great chance of finishing Uriah Hall, which is exactly what Whittaker was able to do. A great technical fight on his behalf and a terrible, terrible performance from Uriah Hall. And I say that not because he was a complete jerk to us last week. I say that because it was actually a terrible, terrible performance. And what's interesting is we were talking on Twitter with a couple of people about, is this, you know, he took the fight on short notice. And, you know, you have to ask the question, or at least I have to ask the question, is he taking the fight on short notice because he wants to stay competitive? Or is he one of these guys like Neil Magny that just wants to continue to make as much money as he can while he can, and takes these fights until eventually he runs up against Whittaker, Magny runs up against Damian Maia, and you got to start all over again.
Yeah, well, I mean, in that situation, it's always the what-ifs are all over the place.
But I think it's specific to the Reebok deal and the fact that it cuts off a lot of your income. You're seeing more and more of these guys being like, 14 minutes notice, I'll totally fight because I want to get paid.
Or go to Bellator.
Or go to Bellator.
I don't know.
Which again, I think is what we've been talking in the office all week. I think that's what Struve was doing, because that fight was beyond terrible.
You think he was setting up to go
to
Bellator?
I think he's just looking, sandbagging to just get out and go someplace where he doesn't take as much.
Wow, strong words there.
It was a terrible, terrible fight.
I didn't see that one, so I didn't know.
Don't bother. It was awful. It was the worst. I mean, for what happened after all four of those fights being really fun and really competitive, it was none of that stuff and not even worth the view. The other news to talk about this week, Ken put it up yesterday, and so did most of the internet, the John Jones...
the before and after
the
picks.
The before and after picks.
Apparently, when you go to rehabilitation...
Fill in whatever gaps you would like to fill in.
You get cut.
Wow, he looks huge. There's a video on Instagram of him, I think, squatting 500 pounds. Or something. The guy looks ridiculous. And what will be fascinating is, you know, when Nick and Andy Bailing were in here, Nick is always talking about how John Jones is that fighter who could have been an NFL prospect, superstar, that decided to fight instead, and he's got the physique to show it. What will be interesting, though, is all that extra weight, what does his body do with it?
I don't know about the extra weight and where he is.
I don't mean fat. I mean like the muscles.
Right. No. I know. But I'd be very curious to figure out where he's, is he still walking around the same? Is he just cut that up? You know, oxygen is the first thing you think of. Takes a lot of it.
Yep.
It takes a lot of it from muscles, and he's got a lot of muscles now. Not that he didn't have muscles before.
No, but he's got like muscles on top of muscles.
Well, I mean, it looks a little more like a bodybuilder type of workout. Yep. And I don't know, maybe if he's changed what he's doing simply because he was suspended. I don't know how much training he's actually doing.
Well, he's, you know, according to his Instagram, when he posted that, he's been doing this since June 1st.
So,
and 7 months down the road.
Maybe dude finally just stopped drinking, too.
Yeah, I don't know. But he looks ginormous. And he hints at April 23, Madison Square Garden, he and Cormier.
And again, for those of you that are conspiracy theorists, there's no testing when you're not licensed and you're suspended. So that's all I'm saying.
And I appreciate you for that.
We'll see that.
This weekend, you know, because we're running super short on time. This weekend, you got Fight Night 78 on Saturday night. That's Neil Magny, Kelvin Gastelum, Henry Cejudo, and Formiga, and Diego Sanchez, and Ricardo Lamas. That is that card. Tonight, you've got Bellator 146. That's Melvin Manhoef against Hisaki Kato, Bubba Jenkins, and Jordan Parsons.
I thought only Kimball and Ken Shamrock fought on.
No.
They
do events between those, and this is one of them.
It's interesting.
It's on tonight. As always, you can follow along all weekend long on Twitter.
Sure?
I'm absolutely positive.
Is Bobby Lashley there?
He is not. No. Bobby Lashley only fights when Kimbo fights. Or Royce Gracie.
I'm going to Google that just to make sure.
Or Ken Shamrock.
All right,
Any one of those guys fight, you will see Bobby Lashley. Okay, follow along on Twitter and Facebook, search WOW Show. Have a great weekend. It is your MMA show.